Baldwin County Deputy Bill Smith died trying to save swimmers off the coast of Fort Morgan.
Well, it all began with a woman named Adrienne Korecki struggling in the water. Well, Deputy Sydney Wentworth went out to help her. She was trying to rescue her. But then Deputy Wentworth needed saving. Beach attendant Dante Reed jumped in to help, but then he had trouble.
And that's when Deputy Bill Smith went out and a strong current swept him up. Gulf Shores Fire stepped in and pulled everyone out from the rough surf.
Well, deputies Wentworth and Smith, as well as beach attendant Reed, were hospitalized. Unfortunately, Smith did not survive. Wentworth has been released from the hospital, and Reed is still recovering in the hospital tonight.
Man, it is a horrible outcome for Deputy Smith, and our condolences to his family and to the people that worked with him at the Baldwin County Sheriff's Office. Terrible set of circumstances, saving lives, but losing his in the process, and several other people hospitalized as a result of it, including one of the strong swimmer guards who was caught up in all of this. Joining us now, we have Escambia Sheriff Chip Simmons. Sheriff, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News. It's heartbreaking, I know, to think of your neighboring jurisdiction losing a deputy like this, isn't it?
It absolutely is. Good morning, Andrew. When we first heard about it, I reached out to Sheriff Hosmack over there and asked him if there's anything that we can do. Obviously, we'll be assisting with whatever funeral arrangements that they have over there. But when you look at how rough that water was, and you imagine, I like to put myself in situations like that, and ask myself, what would I do? And I think that's kind of indicative of the character of these deputies. They went over there. They looked at the water. They knew how tough it was. It wasn't a surprise to them. They knew how rough, and then they couldn't help themselves. They had to go in the water, risking everything, risking their very lives, and then ending up giving their life to try to save someone else. And that's, it's not jumping into the water and saving someone is not something you typically think of a sheriff's deputy or a law enforcement officer doing, but there again. It's impossible for a dedicated law enforcement officer to try not to help, whether it is trying to save someone in the water, whether it is even entering a burning building. It's difficult. That's what we're trained to do. That's why we do the job. And, I'm just proud to serve alongside people that feel that way and that obviously take action like that.
Yeah, no, I completely. That's the whole point, is you can't not do it. That's why you sign up for the job. It's so instinctive to your core. I do have a weird practical question is, obviously, the ordinary patrol deputy is encumbered by a tremendous amount of just stuff, from shoes to the gun belt to, if you're wearing a vest, to their uniform. I mean, all things that make it hard to swim. What do you guys have a policy for how you advise your deputies to respond in situations like this?
Well, I mean, I'm not sure if I can say we have a policy on it. I think that, again, in that scenario, I would think that you would at least take your gun belt off, if not your shirt and your vest. But how long is that going to take? Sometimes the vest itself it takes a little bit longer. And I'm not sure whether he had a vest on or not.
Right.
I'm assuming if he's working near the water, he has given some thought to that. When I worked at the Pensacola Police Department many years ago, we were trained. We had that discussion as to what happens on when we work the bridge beat. We had life preservers and different things in our car in case someone jumped over, in case an accident happened and a car went over, or in case we just got a call. And there were more calls than you would think of people running off of Bayfront into the waterway. And there are a lot of Pensacola police officers that got awards, life-saving awards, for saving people that went into the bay. So to your question, I would think that, and again, I don't know the circumstances, I would think that he would at least take the gun belt off. Because as you mentioned, the boots, the gun belt, the long pants, the shirt, maybe not the vest, but it certainly is not conducive to easy swimming.
Right, right. I mean, I can't imagine trying to swim in even half of that gear. And for them, obviously. And as you say, this is a good reminder that the stuff that is sort of a problem I had never thought of before is exactly the kind of thing that you guys think about, plan for, train, talk about foreign policies around so that you're prepared in these situations. And so that's a good reminder of all the different things that you guys have to think about. Turning back here to local news, we had a shooting at Mobile, or not a shooting, excuse me. We had a death investigation at this old nightclub over in Massachusetts in Mobile, right?
That's correct. Yeah, we don't have anything new on that. The autopsy will likely be performed today. We'll have a little more information. We preserved the scene, took photographs, and took everything as if it were an active criminal investigation. But at this point, we really have no idea. It's very likely it could just be a death of natural causes, and the decomposed body was just now found.
Okay. All right. So we did, so he had been there. It looks like he had been there for a while before he was found. Is that right?
I will say that the body has some substantial decomposition.
Okay. The other story that kind of happened in the last day or two is we had this youth pastor allegedly placing a spy camera in a bathroom. Is that right?
Yeah. Well, my understanding is he's not a youth pastor.
That was the headline. I'm sorry.
Right. Yeah. And when we first got the report, that's probably what we got, because the man that is alleged to have done this works as the children's ministry director, is my understanding, and then did a little IT work. So I don't think he was the youth pastor, but yeah, we got a call on Sunday that a child had found what they thought was a camera in the bathroom at the church. Further investigation revealed that the gentleman by the name of David Patrick Mims, we believe, was responsible for placing that. We have done a couple search warrants yesterday, And so the investigation certainly continues, but we have no reason to believe that anyone else at the church, certainly the church leadership, the pastor and all, were involved or aware of any of this. And so we are continuing the investigation, and we are asking that if anyone, maybe has gone to that church and feels like they may have been a victim, or if they know someone that's a victim, to please let us know, because, again, this is an active investigation.
I mean, hiding, I guess what I'm thinking about is all the other people at all kinds of other churches or public buildings that have restrooms. Of course, you hear these stories and, you worry that it could be anywhere. I mean, how was it hidden? Do we know? Can you tell people what to look for if they're worried about something like this?
I think in this situation, the camera was discovered because the child found the small wire that led to what looked like a camera lens. I'll be honest, when I go into public restrooms and public locations, I look around quite a bit. I mean, I don't scour the whole place, but it's just because I know that things like this do happen, mm-hmm. and I don't want to make everyone paranoid, but I do believe this is a quick cursory review on the bathrooms or other rooms, just to take a look to make sure that nothing crazy is out of nothing out of the ordinary. But that's my understanding was that's how they found it, that there was a cable maybe had come unhinged, and was flopping down, but we're fortunate. I'm certainly glad that it was discovered and we can get to the bottom of it.
Yeah, better to be discovered by a victim so that you can actually find the perpetrator instead of, the perpetrator discovers it and then fixes the problem and keeps on doing the bad stuff, obviously. You guys recently partnered with Harvest Community Outreach in Montclair for a Saturday, food and household goods. What'd you guys do?
Well, yeah, Pastor Dale and Tara Pogue over there at the church out there on Massachusetts, I think it's Harvest House, that they told us that they were planning a neighborhood cleanup and just to basically get together. Well, we partnered with them. We used some of our law enforcement trust funds, those funds that are seized by drug dealers and, the money that's used to tear apart in a neighborhood. We repurposed that, really, and we put it into this program that they were having. So they had, early in the morning, they had people that walked up and down Massachusetts just to clean their neighborhood up to show that they have that sense of pride that you need in a successful neighborhood. What we weren't aware of is that they also were doing a food giveaway. They have a number of volunteers over there that regularly, and this is not the first time we've been there at a food giveaway, but this is the first time that we have been involved in a trash pickup, a food giveaway, and then we participated and provided the equipment to cook some hamburgers and hot dogs. And we were really there to provide food for the workers for the food giveaway. Obviously, we didn't turn anyone away. So we had people that were there for a food giveaway also got a free hot meal. And then the workers, the volunteers, I should say, that we also fed them. And it was really just a great opportunity to get out into our community, to partner with Pastor Pogue and Tara Pogue, and just to say this is what the future of Pecamba County is designed to look like, where the government can partner with the people can partner with the neighborhoods, and we can all come together for events like this.
Oh, I love it. It's fantastic. Hey, last quick question for you. I realize this would be appropriate to ask you. We've been talking this morning about the Cervantes corridor improvements from the chicaning and the reduced speed limit and the limited lanes. And then also, they've just now put up the first concrete barrier between Kirk and Green Street, where you physically cannot cross from one side to the other because of this 3-foot-high concrete barrier, which is going to have barriers like that all across Cervantes. You used to be in the city. Part of this is in the city. You, of course, now are over the county as the Escambia County Sheriff. Do you have any thoughts about the value of this as impeding bikes and pedestrians, if it might mean anything for your officers responding to calls? Any thoughts about this as from a law enforcement perspective?
Well, you know, we don't get involved in the designing of the roadways. There are others that do that. But I think that if the focus is to save lives, and clearly it is, and if this is the best way that the traffic engineers, the people that are experts in this, feel it can be done, then I would support that. I mean, it's change, and no one likes change. I understand that, but things have changed so much in my lifetime here in Escambia County. After a while, you start to look back and say, "Man, I can't believe we did it that way."
Right.
I've not had a chance to go down Cervantes to take a look at that, but my understanding is that what you just described. I do think that it will have an impact. Will it have enough impact? Will it save every life? I believe there will still be some people that that make some poor decisions and can try to cross the roadway in areas they're not supposed to, and poorly lit situations, and sometimes they may be under the influence. So I'm afraid that there will be some, but I believe that if the effort is to save lives, and it looks like that's a possibility, then I'm all for that.
All right, very good. Escambia Sheriff Chip Simmons. Sheriff, as always, thank you so much for the time. Thanks for doing what you do for our community. We certainly appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
You bet. Y'all take care.